Blog Talk Radio.
And just like that, people, March proves to you that it's still all about the madness of the month. Welcome to Fox Sports Radio 96.9 FM and Fox Sports Radio 1340 AM. Hopewell, Virginia. You're tuned in, you're locked into the flagship show, The Soul in Sports. People, I'm your host, Mike Knox, and indeed, I spell my name with three X's because like this weekend we just had, let's just be honest, people, I am hardcore. But as always, people, first, the particulars. Number to call in, 347-637-3859. Also, get in when you fit in on social media because, damn it, if your grandmother has a social media, that means you have a social media. So that means we have a social media. I am the Million Dollar Host. You are the Million Dollar Audience. And together, like the mega powers, it is WrestleMania month, we tag in and out to form the Million Dollar Connection. Well, WrestleMania season. That's right. Follow me by my namesake. I am loud. I speak loud. I told you how to spell it. You're welcome. With three X's on Twitter for the station. Give you the identification. Fox Sports. Well, 1340 AM. Fox Sports. Also, to show you tuned in, locked into the show, the icons, pros, Ayatollahs, and rock and rollers. Excuse me. And all listen to right here, the Soul, S-O-U-L, capital letter N, Sports. People, we got a smorgasbord. I love smorgasbords, people. We have a plethora of people of sports and entertainment to talk to you tonight, people. What the hell is a bracket? Why the hell did you fill out a bracket? For those who I had plans on coming on here on Monday and said it's a sports violation that don't do brackets, well, damn it, it's still a sports violation because it's all about the fun of doing brackets. But what the hell is a bracket? I had North Carolina and Arizona in my Final Four going against Villanova and Duke. Damn it, they both go down this opening weekend. Also, as I wear my heart on my sleeve, a 16 seed. We knew it was going to happen one day, people. We knew it was going to happen. It couldn't happen to a better school than our host state school, the University of Virginia. I mean, come on, people, really? Really? What does it take to be number one? I don't know. But I know one thing I do know. Virginia is going home. That's what I do know. Also, as I wear my heart on my sleeve, NBA news today broke this afternoon. Ty Lue, the coach of LeBron James' Cleveland Cavaliers, because it ain't Cleveland Cavaliers. It's LeBron James' Cleveland Cavaliers. If LeBron James never went back to Cleveland, we would still remember them for Brad Doherty and Mark Price and all those guys. But Ty Lue steps down as the coach of the Cleveland Cavaliers, a mystery illness, if you will, so to speak. Also, Floyd Money Mayweather has filed for his MMA license. And people, guess what? I will bet money Floyd has a chance in the octagon. I know you're thinking I'm smoking the pipe, the peyote, and all those things you put the wet cigarette and all that good stuff. But no, I don't smoke that good stuff. I'm just a man who speaks the truth. And also, WWE News, the Hall of Fame has just got joined by the Hall of Pain. Mark Henry is going into the WWE Hall of Fame. It is WrestleMania season. Get in when you fit in. But people, as always, I'm not here alone. Welcome to the program. First up this afternoon, live from the host city. His mama calls him Micah. You can call him Amy Richmond on the Twitter. And if you got a slab of ribs, well, he knows how to get with you. What's going on, Micah?
Oh, my brother, you're coming in with the rhymes almost as good as I do in my heyday and my time. But let me tell you, man, we can't do it at the same time because, you know, sometimes I go ahead and start getting all hacked, kind of like ruined, just like my bracket. But that's okay. We're still going to have a good time here today. Well, Mike Knox, how duty do, sir?
Well, I think you said duty, and that's what I can't do. I haven't been able to duty in like 48 hours. What the hell? I'm a grown-ass man. I need to take a duty.
But you need some Metamucil. Need some Metamucil up in there, brother.
No, what I need is some magnesia. Not milk of magnesia. I forget what this stuff is called. They had me, I had it a long time ago. It's mag. That's what it is. I need a mag.
No, magnesium sulfate.
Yeah, that well, that thing runs
through
your
life. Yeah, you get that thing for the Dollar Tree, bro. That thing gets you real. That thing gets real good.
Oh, they got the Dollar
really
Tree too. They got the Dollar Tree.
Yeah,
I didn't know they had it on Mike Walgreens and stuff. Okay, I guess I gotta go.
No, they got the Dollar Tree.
There might not be an around the block to Mike Knox tomorrow morning because I might be on the toilet. Okay, but enough of my dutying. Let's get into what everybody is rooting for, and that is March Madness. I mean, when I put up the information about today's show, you so eloquently put, what you talking about, Willis? Do anybody care about brackets? And I'm going to say this much, Michael, before we get into what happened over March Madness weekend. And you know what? Let me backtrack a little bit. I apologize. How was your weekend, bro? I told you about my duty. How was your weekend?
Oh, man, my weekend was fantastic. You know, I finally ate some chicken after about a month and a half of not eating chicken. Of course, you know me. You know how I get down with the gaming. We enjoyed a fantastic night of gaming of all kinds. Yes, Mike, there was actually new systems there. I was the only one who got systems, okay?
Who got them phones?
Yeah, what? Oh, we all got the stars, man. Well, like, let me tell you something. When I pull back open, we pull back the curtain real quick. Remember GoldenEye 007 from the Nintendo 64?
No, you did not play Double Eye Golden 7 from NE64. No, you did not.
Yes, we did. We had GoldenEye 007 from Nintendo 64, right? Now, I haven't played this game, Mike Knox. Full disclosure, the last time I played this game seriously had to be somewhere around 1999 to 2001. So, it's 2018. I was playing that game over 17 years. Mike, how the world I get 20 kills out of nowhere? It was smooth too. I was like, do. Oh, you're dead. And the dude had our job. And you know how hard it is to kill our job? And I was getting off, Mike. I'm telling you, your boy would have made you proud. My dogs were immaculate that night.
He was playing 007. I'm still stuck on that because I heard that over the weekend, since we're bringing up, you know, games that people play from back then, you know, they rehashed and remade, because that's all that Hollywood can do today is remake movies. You know, they remade Tomb Raider, right? I heard it flopped.
I think what happened was that I didn't go see it, but I liked the trailer when I was watching the good movie Black Panther. So when I was watching Black Panther and Becoming Wakandanized, I was trying to see the Tomb Raider. I was like, you know, I should probably go ahead and check out the movie. But, Mike, can I be honest with you? As a gamer,
yeah.
Mike, what's the one thing that made Tomb Raider special for those of us who were gaming back then?
Let me answer the question. Now, for me, I stopped playing. Tomb Raider was the game that made me stop playing every game except for sports games, because there was this part in the cave that I could not get past, and it took me like 6 hours, and I said, screw you, I'm done. But for most of us, at least for me, because you asked me, it was the sex appeal of Lara Croft. But I think the girl who's playing Lara Croft is pretty goddamn hot.
Yeah, I think so too. However, for some odd reason, there was this one little complaint. Two little complaints about her particular character. I guess because it has something to do with objectifying a woman. But Lara Croft is supposed to be the voluptuous, bad to the bone woman who can embarrass your life and look good doing it. So
right.
She looks good, but she doesn't have the two major parts that made Lara Croft Lara Croft. I think that's probably one of the things
her left and right missile.
Her
left and right
missile.
Her
special attacks weren't the same as Angelina Jolie's.
Now see, that's
Angelina Jolie's was worse. Like, we already know she was a worse Lara Croft than this. This young lady looked like she a real Lara Croft in comparison to Angelina Jolie. But Angelina Jolie had the assets to be Lara Croft.
She had the assets. See, that's embarrassing. This is the problem with men today. And it's not our fault, people. Women who are listening to the program, it is not our fault. When I was a kid, I'm talking about 8, 9, 7 years old. Don't believe me? Google it. There was a cartoon that came on. Today, it would be my PHL, whatever. Like, in Philadelphia, it was 17, right? So, like, you know, like, not UPN, not Fox, not the three majors, that other channel, right? And there was a cartoon called Tranzor-Z. You remember that? And I will never forget this as long as I live, because as a kid, I was like, whoa. You know, it was like watching Skinamax for the first time. She would say, missile one, and her left boob would shoot a missile. Missile two, and her right boob would shoot a missile. I'm 7 years old, 8 years old, 9 years old. What the hell is that doing on TV? So, of course, I cannot be surprised that people would be mad that this movie might have flopped because she don't have the assets, which is still a shame because she's still, you know, as they would say, pretty hot and tempting. You know what I mean? Not fat in the fat that means pretty hot and tempting, but she's pretty cute. You know what I mean? But that's a shame.
Yeah,
Dolores,
you and I, but see, you and I can look beyond the basic aesthetic. You and I can look beyond the basic aesthetic and ask yourself, well, was this movie good?
That's what I want to
know.
I'm still going to check it out. I'm still going to check it out.
I mean,
my friend of program, Mr. Ass Billy Gunn, would say how he's an ass man. I'm a face man. And her face is pretty cute, so I'm going to check it out. But let's get into these brackets right now that are completely broken. And we're not talking about broken Matt Hardy, which tonight will have the Hardy compound match will finally take place. Now, this is the make or break for Raw tonight as far as Hardy versus Bray Wyatt is concerned. If this match fails to come off good on television, both these guys we could see on the future endeavor list very soon, in my opinion. Well, maybe not Matt Hardy, but definitely Bray Wyatt. But Friday night, is it Friday? Yeah, Friday night. Okay. Now, you know, my first gig, I get up pretty early in the morning. When you saw Virginia versus University of Maryland, Baltimore County play in Virginia, which I believe I can be wrong. You had Virginia win the national title, didn't you?
Man, I had Virginia beating all these cats. I had them because honestly, I had no belief in Arizona whatsoever because I didn't care about that one player that they had because all Virginia had to do was let him score his 30 and stop everybody else on the team and they still would have won. So I thought the defense was going to win here. Then I saw Isaiah Thomas playing on that team. I'm like, oh crap, they got a short one too. He's got a Napoleon complex. Oh no, and I just saw it, and it was just going down the DMs, just not in a good way, just flames. It was here's the funny thing. In one sense, if you want to think this way, UVA being the only number one seed in history, the first and only so far in history to lose to a 16 seed. For some people, it's just desserts based on some things that happen with Tiki Torches. For other people, like me being a Virginia Tech fan, I'm just laughing all the way to the bank because that was the only team in UVA I could trust. It was their basketball team as far as the major sports. And I was like, I mean, at least get past the 16 seed, bro. I said a little chat, they can go undefeated next year and even beat LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers in the exhibition game. They still would not be ranked number one.
Yeah, right.
Number one now.
Well, on the bracket for the Solon Sports, okay, which, by the way, you did not fill out. I don't know why. King Herbie is not winning either, but he's in first place with 82% of the picks correctly here. Myself, I'm at 53. Wally's at 53. Dice Man's at 17%. Most of others that we don't care to mention because they don't care to call in enough, but that's okay. I mentioned you without mentioning you, so you're kind of still important. So I'm going to go over Herbie's bracket. No, forget that. I'm going to go over my bracket. Why would I go over my bracket? Because it's my bracket, right? Our show. If you don't like it, listen anyway. So I had Virginia winning, obviously, like everybody else did. I had Virginia, nevertheless, losing in the second round. I did. So first round, I had Virginia. I had that game wrong. I had Creighton. I had that game wrong. I had Kentucky. I had Arizona. I had that game wrong. I did have Loyola Chicago, and I did have Loyola Chicago winning the second round against Tennessee as well. I have Tennessee. I had Nevada, which won. I had Cincinnati, who won. I had Nevada beating Cincinnati, who won. You know why I like that? Because that's where I want to go right now, Micah, because we can talk about the 16 versus the 1, right? Which one's worse? The 16 versus the 1 who got blown out by 22? Is it North Carolina who, again, I'm going to mention it because I'm a North Carolina fan and I tried to hide it, but I couldn't, who got embarrassed by Texas Tech and even you had to send out a response tweet to one Colin Coward who said he can't believe that Texas Tech has better basketball players than North Carolina. But my caveat to all that is this much, Micah, is that from the beginning of a basketball season, the NCAA season, I said, and I said in this program for years, hashtag fire Royal Williams because he cannot recruit. And that I was shocked that he's won two national titles. I don't know how I still think he should be fired. He will not be fired. because he's won two national championships. However, I knew that team could not succeed. But Cincinnati giving up a 32-8 run with 7 minutes to play in the game, Micah, what's more embarrassing? What's harder to do? The 16 beating the one? Because at any given time, you know, you got to come to play, right? And then you play football, right? NFL. Everything there is quite the conundrum of, well, is it's pretty much where, and I see you, King Von Jr. 720 on Twitter checking in, where you have the advantage. There is no advantage in college basketball because there's a tournament. You don't know what that 16 seed is. You get like, what, 24 hours, 48 hours to prepare for this team that you've never seen before. But Nevada, 30 to 8 run to win the game with these two Colin Kaepernick looking twins. Did you see that game yesterday? Because to me, that's the most impressive game of the entire weekend, even more than Loyola Chicago winning.
I mean, yo, man. I mean, yo, Golden State 2016 called. You know, Cleveland Indians called. 2016 Cleveland Indians called. You remember that one, Mike. You know what I'm saying? Falcons called. Atlanta Falcons called. They say, hey, man, join our squads, man. Join us in history. blowing leads that should not be blown. Now, granted, it was down. They were down early enough to where the comeback was plausible and the comeback was feasible. And
I'm sorry. I don't mean to interrupt you, but actually I do. Did you actually just bring back up the Cleveland Indians losing?
Jake Arrieta, he has been by far the best pitcher. And Alvarez goes down swinging.
Cubs! Okay, that's all. Go ahead. Cubs win.
Cubs! Truth. Oh, God.
Bro, that's the greatest soundbite in the history of Fox Sports.
Cubs!
You can't get no better than that.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome.
See, I will play it every day now. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
but that's the truth, though. Because even though it was plausible, most teams in college basketball, because we're dealing with emotional, you know, young men who don't know, always know how to compartmentalize the different parts of the game. And so because they don't always know how to compartmentalize the different parts of the game, they will succumb easily to a blowout. So it's like, okay, well, you know, I mean, you know, not to put a damper on it, you know, when your boys, North Carolina, was down by the mount, they were down, they looked like they lost.
Why you bringing up old
stuff?
We're not talking about North Carolina. We already lost by 22 points.
I understand.
So why you bringing that up? What's that for?
I'm
rude.
Sorry, man. It's just, hey, you got the Cubs, though. Rude. You got the Cubs.
I mean, at least we were the number one seed that lost to a community college.
Yeah, exactly. So I was still sitting there tripping out, like, how you call yourself a retriever, but your mascot look like a bloodhound? I'm just curious. Anyway, I mean, that's how you know
Saint
what
Bernard.
Kind of college you're dealing
with. I thought
with.
More of a St. Bernard, though, but I feel
like. It was the same thing. I was like, you call yourself a retriever. I guess St. Bernard can count as retrievers. Anyway, but. I was very, very impressed. It was the mentality of the basketball players and the coaching staff. This is where coaching, you know, makes a real big difference in college basketball. Because normally, you down by 20-some points, you don't care if you're trying to win. I mean, you just finish off the game, look decent, and not try not to get embarrassed. Not only did you come back, but then you make the defensive plays necessary when they could have tied the game on you. And, you know, that's how you know that a team wants it more. Do I see them beating? Because I got that wrong. I got Nevada wrong several times. I had them losing to Texas because I was a Shaka Smart Mark. So I was a Shaka Smart Mark. So I had them losing to Texas. I was wrong.
I, I'm a Shaka Smart Mark as well. And I didn't think that they could do, you know, like win the tournament. But I thought they could win the first round. I thought Shaka was a good enough coach to have them win the first round. So when they lost to Nevada.
Exactly.
That threw me off. And I'm sorry. I said that I picked Nevada, and I'm looking now, like, if you look at the brackets, like, it goes ahead. And I apologize. I did pick Texas in that match, so I was wrong on that. And I thought I picked but I did pick Cincinnati, and I actually had Cincinnati going all the way to playing against Arizona in the Sweet 16. And that's how I had it had. But I did have Virginia losing, though, in the second round. So I'm cool. I'm pretty cool with that one still.
So I got the wrong again with Cincinnati because – I'm doing I thought I had my thing put in, but I guess I didn't. And I had them losing to Cincinnati because I saw Cincinnati as a good team, And so now they're going against Loyola of Illinois. And I ain't going to lie. I said to myself, should I pick Nevada? I pick Loyola. I said, you know what? I'm going to go Loyola just to see if this jinx will work and Nevada will win again. But let me tell you something. Even if Nevada does win again, they ain't beating Kentucky. I'm sorry. They ain't getting past Kentucky.
No, they shouldn't have gotten past. You know, let's be real here. Cincinnati gave that game away. You know, and you know, a friend of the program, right? He's a Cincinnati fan, and he was like, we were talking. He was like, you know, he blames the coach and the player for when Cumberland got the fifth foul. I said, no, you don't blame the player. I said, you blame the coach, because the coach is supposed to take him out of that ball game at that point when he hits that fifth foul. Of course, the player's gonna want to say, I want to stay in. That's what players do. But the coach gets paid the millions of bucks on the table, not the money the players get under the table, but the money on the table to make those decisions. That is completely the coach's fault in that game, as far as if you want to blame Cumberland from fouling out, losing that game. But I don't blame Cumberland fouling out, losing that game. I just feel that Nevada wanted it more. And they always say, when you're the team that's winning and you're in this tournament, it gets real tight down the stretch.
Yeah.
It gets real tight. And clearly, someone had the proverbial two hands choking on Cincinnati yesterday. But they're not the only biggest chokes in the tournament. For me, I think Cincinnati was the biggest choke. But let's look at some other noticeable big losses in this tournament, okay? I'm for one who had San Diego State. That's not a big loss. 11-6 matchup. Houston goes on to win that first round game. But big losses here. Like I said, North Carolina, we know, went down yesterday in the first. We're looking at first round, second round losses. So Ohio State wins the first round matchup against San Diego State, but then loses to Gonzaga. Not a big upset, a 5-4, but they lost that game. But Xavier, another number one, goes down to Florida State. That was shocking to everyone yesterday. But again, I looked at Xavier all year, being the former Atlantic 10 fan that I am. That's where Temple comes out of and things like that, and watching that division. I wasn't impressed with Xavier anyway. I thought North Carolina, who clearly did not deserve the number one seed, maybe should have got the number one seed from that, or at least maybe perhaps a Duke, but another ACC team. I think maybe two ACC teams should have had the number one seed, but Xavier did.
Yeah.
But I didn't think they was worthy of it. But I look at my right side of my bracket, right, because that's the only side of the bracket I got good, the Midwest and the East regional, right? So we'll go up top of the East Regional. I got Villanova. I had Alabama. I had West Virginia. I had Wichita, but they lost to Marshall. I had I picked St. Bonaventure. I don't know how I did that one. I thought I'd pick Florida. That must have been a slip of the click, if you will. Texas Tech.
Was it a slip of the click?
The clip of the click. I had Texas Tech. And I had Arkansas, which pissed me off because, you know, pay some homage to the people that came before you and win that ball game. But I had Purdue. Then that second round, I had Purdue going on to where they are right now. I had Texas Tech going on to where they are right now. I had West Virginia going on. I had Villanova. So that top of the bracket I have absolutely perfect for my Sweet 16 thus far out of those four teams on that side of the bracket. Then underneath you had the Midwest. I had Kansas. I had Seton Hall. I had Clemson. I had Auburn. I had Syracuse. I had Michigan State. I had Oklahoma, which pissed me off because Trey Young, you're a bum. Okay. Then I had Duke winning. And I had Duke also going on, which I have. I had Michigan State going on, which they do not do. Syracuse wins that game. I had Clemson going on, which they didn't. I had Kansas going on. So I have that bottom bracket still accurate. But the left side, that whole West, that whole South is a complete shambles. How your brackets looking, brother?
Well, I got straight in the East because, I mean, I knew Alabama was going to beat Virginia Tech because I never trust a Hokie with a basketball. I always trust them with a football, though.
It's a Hokie. What the hell is a Hokie?
Huh?
What the hell is a Hokie?
It's like some kind of turkey. It's some kind of like a turkey chicken thing. I don't know why. I don't know why these schools be picking these stupid mascots. But anyway, I mean, I was entertained by Virginia Tech. Exactly. A real mascot, an actual bear cup. But, you know, if it wasn't for Michael Vick, I wouldn't be a Hokie fan anyway. But I had Villanova beating them. I didn't know they were going to beat them that bad. I didn't trust Marshall to beat a good West Virginia team who actually knows how to play basketball. Marshall, I don't trust them. I actually have Florida over Texas Tech, them being a little bit more seasoned program when it comes to basketball, one of the better SEC programs when it comes to basketball, a little bit more consistent. But, you know, they didn't pull that out. I thought Butler was going to really beat Purdue because I, when I think of a Boilermaker, I think of only Drew Brees.
Right.
I'm like, okay, a Boilermaker, and there's this other guy who I know is a passer who played tennis. That's the only two really real Boilermakers I know. Everybody else is like, okay, you're Purdue.
Oh, there's a Boilermaker?
No, there was a tennis guy. There was a guy who's a very famous international passer who played tennis at Purdue.
Pastor.
Yeah, pastor.
Okay.
Yeah, pastor. Okay. Not gotcha. Pastor Troy. But anyway.
Right. Not Pastor Troy.
I had Kansas because I don't trust Eaton Hall. Kansas is more of the type of team that when I see them choke, they usually choke when it counts the most. And the second round is when they count is when they don't choke the most. I'm waiting for the Sweet 16 choke. The Sweet 16 Elite 8 choke.
Oh, Kansas will choke. Kansas will choke.
Yeah, Kansas will choke. But I have them beating Clemson. In 16, but then I have them losing to Duke. Then I have them losing to Duke because I don't believe that they're going to be able to beat Duke with Coach K and his runner players. I mean, Coach K and his players. Let's see. It was Gonzaga. I picked that one right. So my East was I was 50% of my East, and I was 75% of my Midwest. Kansas, Clemson, and Duke. I thought Michigan State was going to pull it up. What question? What the heck is going on with Syracuse? How you have no offense the whole season? You stink for the majority of the season. I mean, you do all right, just enough to get in. You got the play-in game. You plan, and all your games are like mud-slinging, you know, bad wrestling matches between two big guys who shouldn't be main event and Raw. Like, it's just it's a boring, slow snail fest, and somehow you keep on winning. I don't understand. Is this Jim Boeheim, like, magic, dark magic? Like, you know, help me Tom Cruise, your black magic? You know, type thing. Like, what's going on here? You got to help me out, Mike. I don't know what's going on with this.
I don't know. The same thing I was trying to figure out about Gargano's wedding over the weekend for NXT guy. Did you see the pictures that he had in his wedding? He looked completely that he wasn't smiling. But 347-637-3859. I don't know what's going on with Syracuse. But I tell you one thing. I'm not surprised. This is what Jim Boeheim does. Okay? And I think it's great, to be honest, how every other college team, Duke is trying to play it now. They're being a little bit successful with it now. But every college team has tried to play the 2-3 zone, and they have struggles with it. But this guy, year after year, this is the staple of their defense, and they get the job done. I'm very impressed with that with Jaden Bahamas. So I'll tell you one thing, again, I'm not surprised at all. But what I am surprised by, and no, it's not the fact that the Cubs. Spot Face calling them back in. Spot Face, how your brackets looking, brother? I'm quite sure they suck like everybody else's does.
Well, as long as Kentucky wins, I'll be fine.
Oh, well,
as long as Kentucky wins.
They didn't spend enough money this year.
Hey, where Calipari goes, the checkbook follows.
That is. We call him John C. Perry. You know what I mean? Maybe he should go to Chicago.
Cubs!
Can win the World Series again.
So. I mean, I'm just so confused. I mean, the parity, the teams that are taking over this year, Loyola, you know, that was a shocker. North Carolina getting thumped. Like, I feel like they got Braun Strowman, like, it was a squash match. Like, nobody saw that one coming. I don't think nobody saw that coming.
My wife is going through the 31-hour Marvel Marathon yesterday, and so she wanted to drink a little bit. It's my day off. So I'm drinking with her, and I passed out on the game. That was the best part about that game in North Carolina. I didn't see that ass whooping they got done to them. 347-637-385. Now, that was the best part of that game. I didn't see none of it. I actually woke up. You ever wake up and you go, hold on, I'm not looking at that right? And you actually, like a TV guy, rub your eyes like, what? Like, I'm sorry, huh?
Yeah, like, am I seeing this right?
There was 20 with like under a minute left, and then the guy gets the ball and dunks. I'm like, you're really dunking like with some authority if y'all just got your arses handed to you by 20 points. Like,
Virginia, Lord have mercy. If you want to be in the record books for that, I don't want to be in the record books.
Yeah, I think the 16 beating them is still better than Cincinnati's 22-point choking. I do, because they got blown out. And again, they may be a 16 seed, but you know, we've all played ball before. And if you haven't, shame on you, right? But you've gone to the court and you've seen a team that was dominant and you've gotten five, you know, people, or you got your team, and you beat that team. I think I'm okay with Virginia losing, to be honest. I am.
No,
but
see, this is where I go to the history books. It ain't never been done.
Yeah, true.
So you could. I don't think nobody at UMBC had UMBC winning that game.
No, they actually didn't. I don't think they did.
So, and again, they got you talk about nicknames and these schools' names. What are they? The Retrievers? You lost a Lassie?
Well, I definitely think.
I'm not losing a Lassie.
Let's just not go to Lassie now. Let's go to the real best golden retriever of all time, Old Yeller. Or was Old Yeller a Saint?
I don't know what it was. Exactly.
King Vaughn.
I think it was a golden retriever, but I think it was a golden retriever.
Okay, I thought Old Yeller was a golden retriever. All I know about Old Yeller, to be honest, I've never seen that stupid movie, is when Bill Cosby always talk about Old Yeller. That's really all I know about Old Yeller. I've never seen it.
I know Old Yeller got taken out back like Rick Flair did WrestleMania 24.
Definitely know that they took him out. They took him out back. No, that's true. They took Old Yeller out back and shot him in the head. No Michael Vick needed. Okay, 347-637-359. We're sorry, guys. If you're a sports guy, I know. Shout out to Hugo who lost his best friend. So we're not making fun of animals and how they get treated, especially Old Yeller. But they did treat Old Yeller pretty bad, you know. And I don't think you should, you know, unless the dog can't, you know, do it anymore with the female dog. Then you're supposed to live. That's me. Once my Jimmy can't go, then cut me off. I'm serious. If I can no longer go in the boudoir, then I don't want to be alive. That's just me. What's the use?
Damn.
What's the use?
Jeez.
Seriously.
And a little Jimmy can't dance.
But
break my legs.
Hold that thought. Live from the VIP, we know his black ass got some ID because they will lock his ass up in Washington, D.C. Wale, brackets are a piece of monkey dung, and UMBC, the University of Maryland, Baltimore, which, by the way, is in the DMV, just like PG County is. Yeah,
it's not a DMV.
I'm sorry.
Don't say that.
What you mean it's not?
It's not a DMV.
What's not a DMV?
UMBC
what's
and DMV.
What, I'm sorry. Where is it located?
It's in Baltimore. That's not a DMV.
Yes, it is. Where is Baltimore located?
Where is Baltimore located?
There's a difference. You can't.
It's a regional line. They're not part of the
regional line.
That's what I'm saying. It's a regional line.
It's an imaginary line?
No. It's like Norfolk, Virginia. Like Norfolk, Virginia ain't part of DMV. That's like 2 hours away. It's part of the regional line.
King Vaughn Jr., I don't care what you don't recognize. You people from the DMV or Baltimore or D.C., you have to face the
fact. Are you from
Chicago?
All right, so is
DMV stands for Delaware, Maryland, and Virginia.
Question. No.
It stands for D.C., Maryland, and Virginia.
You from Chicago, right?
I'm
not sure about it, but I've heard about it. Certain parts of Chicago ain't really considered Chicago, like the heart of Chicago, the city, right? Am I correct about that?
No, they're incorrect about that. What they don't consider Chicago, what they don't consider Chicago are the parts of Chicago that on your address doesn't say Chicago. If it says East St. Louis, Illinois, then that's Illinois. But if it says Chicago, then you're from
Chicago.
The Rosemont Horizon.
Totally different, though.
The Rosemont Horizon, which pisses me off, does say they're in Chicago, and they're not in Chicago.
It's not.
They're in Rosemont, Illinois. Okay, just
but
to be fair.
Chicago, right? It said Chicago, right?
Unfortunately,
Chicago, right?
The media does.
Okay, so you get
Chicago is
Cubs.
Okay, talk about your bracket.
I guess my point, though. They just made my point, but go ahead.
No, I want to hear about your bracket. I think brackets are
That thing don't exist.
It doesn't exist. Is it like the Easter Bunny? Because my kids actually think that there's a bunny on Jesus Day He Rose that comes and lays eggs in our front yard. And I told them, kids, that's the dumbest story I've ever heard. Sorry, kids, if you're listening. There's no such thing as the Easter Bunny. Just not true.
This whole term has been like, it's been amazing. I mean, I think in terms of must-see TV, it's been amazing. Just because you got so many powerhouses that has been eliminated and just teams that you thought could never even compete with some of these teams. Like, even, like,
look at Virginia and UMBC as an example. That was just terrible. Look at what Syracuse did to Michigan State. This is a team that shouldn't even made the tournament, and they just knocked out one of the favorites to win the tournament. I mean, like I said, this Nevada, you know, coming back beating Cincinnati. I mean, you just got teams that shouldn't. I mean, I say shouldn't because all these kids deserve it. They play hard, but in terms of just being a guy who's watched college basketball, you have never picked some of these teams to even advance past the first round, not alone get to the Sweet 16. I mean, Texas A&M, it's been a crazy tournament, but it's been a crazy year. I think we talked about it, you know, a little bit about the parity in college basketball. This is it. You know what I mean? There's no Kentucky with Anthony Davis on this team. There's no North Carolina team with McCants and Felton and folks. There's not, that team is not around.
And I thought that was very telling, right? Because basketball folks, right? College basketball folks. Like I follow college basketball more than the NBA because I'm just overwhelmed with the lack of talent, in my opinion, in the NBA. Okay, but when I looked at this tournament, and I saw a couple of so-called pundits was like, "Oh, this team's going to be dominant." No, what have you been watching all year outside of Villanova, right? And let's be real here, Virginia shocked
Nova,
right?
Nova and Virginia have been the most dominant teams. Yeah,
that's it. Agreed. But that's it. Michigan State has had their struggles, and Duke has had their struggles. And as a North Carolina fan, you've heard me on this program. No, I didn't know. Not at all. So there's no way I went into this tournament being okay. This is going to be it. This is probably one of the biggest crapshoots of March Madness history we've ever had. And I'm not surprised by anything. But I did ask Micah this question. I'm going to ask you this question as well. What side of the bracket would you rather be on? Spotface, who was here, said, "I don't want to be part of history of that 16 seed being the one seed." I said, "I don't want to be Cincinnati giving up the 22-point lead." What side of history do you not want to be on if you had this? Because I think the 16 being the one was more possible than giving up the 22-point lead.
Now, I wouldn't want to be 16 losing to a one because you're the first ever. Like, you're the first
Thank
ever.
Thank you.
You were the first ever. Like, that's embarrassing. Like, to be real, this makes it worse, though. You're the number one seed overall, and you lost. That means you lost to the worst 16 seed. You lost to the worst 16 seed. That's like, Mike, that's like.
And you were the number one overall seed.
Dude, I went to a HBCU. I went to a HBCU. Like,
right.
The MEAC.
Shout out that HBCU. My daughter goes to an HBCU. Virginia
and,
State.
And be proud of her. And but there in basketball wise, it's probably the worst basketball conference.
Right.
If we would never think that
by far.
The University of Maryland Eastern Shore would beat a number one seed. That's what it equals to. You know what I mean? Like UMBC.
Is that like me getting
like
my
MEAC team
off the computer and going to beat Michael Jordan in 1-on-1?
It's not really, that's the same thing. Real talk. Okay. That's like LeVar Ball talking about I can beat Michael Jordan or Charles Barkley. Like it's like him
one on one.
That's like him actually getting that victory. You know what I mean? Like this is like to me that's the worst. Like that is the absolute. At least Nevada was a respectable basketball program. At least they were a respectable basketball program. You know, granted they lost to. They came back and beat. Cincy, you know, but at least they were, and Cincy had a big lead, and they were a good team. They were a team that's favorite, too, to get to the Final Four with everything happening. But at the same time, at least they're a respectable basketball team in terms of the overall totality of college basketball. UMBC isn't. We're talking about the worst 16 seed in basketball. They beat the best team in the country. That's terrible.
Just for my own personal sake, right? I was still more happy that Mercer beat Duke. That 15 versus the 2, right? Because if we go, if we can, right? If we can just play imaginary. Wasn't that Duke team probably that lost that number 2 seed better than this Virginia team? If we just look at that team, that
like this.
Okay,
this,
just
yeah,
wanted to make sure I had something right
team,
here since I was wrong
already.
So since I've been wrong all show, I'm gonna be right about something.
Talent wise, I said this like talent wise, this Virginia team has overachieved. I mean, real, they've overachieved.
Absolutely.
But that don't
and that's
mean
what didn't shock me.
But that's what didn't shock me, Wally.
Because I looked at this Virginia team, I'm sorry, but that's what didn't shock me. I looked at the Virginia team, and I said, they have a better chance of beating North Carolina and Duke than beating a team with four guard play that can all shoot because of how they're constructed. That's why I guess it wasn't so. It was shocking when I woke up. I said, "Oh, holy crap!" You know what I'm saying? However, I was still more like, you know, am I wrong for that? Am I off base? I mean, it's still shocking, nevertheless. That's not what I'm trying to say. Yeah. But
yeah, I mean, I to me, the reason why it's off base, I won't say off base. The reason why I disagree, but like the reason why I disagree with that is because this team, like, again, you're going, if they did that in the second round, say they played whoever played in the second round, and that happened in the second round, they'd be like, okay, whatever. But again, you're playing one of the worst teams in college. Like, this is a team, this is a homecoming game. Like, to be real, that was a homecoming game.
Okay. Oh, well, I played
playing over. They're also a team that might not even make the tournament next year.
They might not even
turn
it again for the next 20 years.
No, 20 years. Like, you know, so you lost a homecoming game in essence. That's terrible. Like, a homecoming game is a game that you know is a cupcake game. It's a game you schedule on your calendar to say, you know what, we're going to beat the crap out of this team, and we're going to look good, and our fans are going to be happy. You lost to a homecoming game. And not just you lost, you got blown out in a homecoming game. You got beat bad by a 16 seed. Bad by the worst 16 seed. Nah, that's embarrassing. You go down in history. When they looked you up in the archives of college basketball, they're going to be like, Virginia lost to UNBC. That's embarrassing. That's embarrassing for Tony Bennett, who's a good coach, but it's embarrassing for his program. It's embarrassing for a recruiting class. Like, at least Cincinnati can say, you know what, at the end of the day, they can still recruit. They'll still bring their kids or whatever. But if you're a recruiter and you're going to be like, oh, yeah, you're the team that lost to a 16 seed, you don't think that hurts recruiting?
Absolutely. I think it does, but the question is
– it hurts Virginia more in terms of who it hurts them. It's definitely Virginia. Like, it hurts the program. Like, it hurts the program.
347-637-3859 is the number to call in. Guys, just to take your attention away, if I can, a little bit, Sunday was still great basketball.
It's the road to the Final Four, destination San Antonio. Will the madness continue? We're set to go. Winner moves on to the Sweet 16. Edwards, two defenders, no call. Popped up in the air. It goes. Grady Eifert and one. A steal. Weidman streaks in for the flush. The blow by Carson Edwards going hard to the hole. Matthias, bullseye. It's a three for the tie. Off the rim. Boiler up. Purdue is headed to the Sweet 16. It goes off the window for Howard. Throws it up. Oh! He banks it in at the buzzer. Moves it ahead. Bridges. Attack mode. Miles Bridges soaring through the air. Brissett. Bank shot. Goes. Syracuse looking for the upset. The penetration. Step back. Got it. A three. No good. The madness is real. Robinson. Take it tight, Mr. Williams. Davis, and it drops. Hold on.
He got away for the dunk.
A long rebound out the hole.
He can hit it. And he does.
Time is running out on the Tar Heels.
Watch out.
What a performance by Texas A&M.
Evans driving and scoring. Evans again. That's just too easy. Look at the way Cincinnati has come out with this energy. Cody Martin, a rare three. It's gone! Martin counted in the foul!
On the verge of one unbelievable comeback.
He'll take a three. We are tied! Welcome to March. Rebound to Hall.
They got
to
get the last shot.
Hall gets the bounce! Nevada pulls off a miracle!
Nothing feels better than this! Sweet 16!
Tigers versus Tigers in San Diego. Clemson wants to run ahead. Thomas.
Guys, this portion of the program is brought to you by Pure Grace Natural Energy. Pure chocolate, guys. Listen, guys, this is the first official sponsor that I've actually loved on this program because I've tasted the product. I love the product. If you're tired, if you're feeling lethargic, if you just want to get up and go, go ahead and look up Pure Chocolate Energy. How can you not like chocolate? Like, not liking chocolate is not liking a kiss from a woman, a Hershey's kiss from a woman. But this ain't no Hershey's. This is Pure Chocolate Energy, made from some of the most natural ingredients known to man on the country. Chew on this. Pure Chocolate Energy will give you the energy, the boost, and the stamina you need. And guys, guess what? You may not just love it yourself. I guarantee you, she will love it as well. 347-637-3859. Guys, let's go ahead and talk about this a little bit because I want to talk about it, and that is Cleveland Cavaliers, LeBron James, because that's the name of the team. It should be the LeBron James Cavaliers, not Cleveland Cavaliers. Wherever LeBron goes, is, you know, what other player in history can by himself be still considered the best player to beat a whole conference by himself? I love Michael Jordan, but damn it, even he had to go through something. LeBron goes through nothing in the East, but he just lost his coach. Ty Lue steps down with a illness that we have not been privileged to know about just yet. I'm going to go with you right now on this one first, Wally. What have you heard about Ty Lue and the reason why he's stepping out from the Cleveland Cavaliers? Because I say this much, you can say coaching is overrated all you want to, but coaching is a, in the NBA, it's about mending attitudes, mending personalities. And Ty Lue did that for LeBron and the supporting cast. Is this a big deal to LeBron's team and their purpose going into the finals?
I don't think coach is overrated at all. I mean, I think coach is important. Do I think Ty Lue is a good coach? No, I don't think he's a great coach. So, I mean, I think that when it comes to the situation, you know, Larry Drew, who's under Ty Lue, who's very experienced, the head coach, is a guy that probably X's and O's wise would be probably better suited than Ty Lue. The only issue right. with Larry Drew is that obviously for anybody who's coaching LeBron James, that will LeBron listen? Or LeBron then do his own thing, because, you know, LeBron tends to think, in my opinion, and this is me, you know, from the outside looking in, is that LeBron is like a dude that is hard to coach because he knows it all and he believes that he's smarter than most coaches. So it's just it's a thing for that team and that organization, is that whoever takes over, you know, in Cleveland when LeBron's there, can they, you know, work well with LeBron? I think Ty Lue, to your point, I think he did work well, LeBron, but I think at the same time for this team to go to the postseason, I think coaching has to kind of take over. And I think a coach has to, you know, LeBron has to be willing to listen to his coach and see what that coach has to bring to the table and see, instead of dictating what he thinks is always right. But this team has to get healthy. Going to get Kevin Love back. That's a very important thing for them to win the East. They get Kevin Love back and healthy, that they can contend and make a push, you know, to the NBA Finals. But other than that, if they don't have Kevin Love, they're not going to beat anybody.
I think with Kevin Love or not, I think what's not being said here and what's being underplayed would be the Toronto Raptors and what they've put together. I think they're the only legitimate chance. I look at Boston, I just go, they're still a player away, and I don't think – I think LeBron can will his team to beat Boston. I'm not sure if LeBron himself can beat all the assets that has come together for this season. Because sometimes it's about the season. You know, and I know we go back, Atlanta had a good season a couple years ago.
Yeah,
right?
I agree.
So when I look at that, I go, it's still up in the air. But I'm just one who's saying I'm still not favoring the LeBron James Cavs to come out of the East, especially with them losing Ty Lue. Now, if I said by any chance I think coaching is overrated, I was trying to express that some people think that the NBA coaching level can be over, I definitely don't think that. I think coaches, I look at Phil Jackson, I look at Greg Popovich, and I know those are some of the two biggest ones, but they have a lot of attitudes they have to bring together in Brad Stevens. I think sometimes coaches don't get enough credit for what they do, and it's easy to point their finger and fire a coach. Get in there for me, Micah, real fast. Ty Lue stepping down. Is this big deal to LeBron and his Cavaliers winning a championship?
I mean, I guess you can go ahead and give him some of that chocolate energy, man. I mean, shoot. I mean, he needs something to go ahead and get him back into it. But I don't think that in this case with the Cleveland Cavaliers, where it comes to it, that Ty Lue kind of going out is actually going to be a bad thing. I mean, if we recall – one Steve Kerr, the Golden State Warriors, and how he manages that team and managing the egos and stuff and keeps them gel. The philosophy in which that he coached with was still permeated throughout the coaching staff, so they were still able to be successful. Now, granted, that was in the middle of the season, wasn't necessarily going towards the playoffs and stuff like that. And that
you don't think that's different, though, for a team that has played together for 3-4 years as opposed to a team that's haven't even played together 15 games?
Well, yes, but then again, this is where we will see the real quality leadership of, does LeBron make teammates better? You know, there's some people who speculate and who argue that LeBron does not make teammates better.
I'm not the biggest
LeBron
fan, but I think that's a little bit too harsh to give him, to see if he can step up to get this team to play together. Maybe that's just me. I think that's a little bit harsh.
But he's the guy, but he's a veteran. He's the primary veteran on the team.
And, I mean, anybody else who was in that position, anybody else who's had that position, we will hold them accountable as journalists. So, I mean, there's nothing wrong with holding LeBron James as equally as accountable to making sure that he gets his teammates involved in a way where they can feel like they're actually promoting. And with the coaching, if the coaching philosophy changes slightly, just enough to where LeBron James is buying in so that the other guys can buy in so they can gel, then cool. Honestly, for some odd reason, I don't know why. Maybe this is just me. Wally, feel free to correct me. But is Kyle Lowry still playing on the Toronto Raptors?
Yes, he is.
Yeah, he is. Yeah.
Then I would believe that. Then until he shows me otherwise,
there you go.
Until Kyle Lowry shows me otherwise, I would never believe in the Toronto Raptors.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
Look, let me piggyback on what Micah just said. It looks sexy the way Toronto's playing. DeRozan's played the same way throughout for the last couple seasons, and he's always and he's produced it. He's done well in the postseason. Kyle Lowry has been an issue. Like, that's my thing. They don't win, and they don't beat Cleveland. Kyle Lowry is the Kyle Lowry we've seen over the last how many years in the postseason. Now, and we've seen Kyle Lowry look really good in the regular season, and now everybody's saying, well, Kyle Lowry now is a backup in Van Fleet and whatnot, so he won't be tired going to the postseason. I don't want to hear that crap. You know when somebody chokes. You know when the moment. You know when somebody is they got that little.
James Harden knows all about that moment.
And for the
James Harden clearly.
Yeah, for the last two seasons, two postseasons, Lowry has doubted himself. He's hesitated on shots. At least Harden's a scorer. Harden's hesitating on shots. He may play some crap like that one game.
Right.
I don't know what was wrong with him.
He's not scared
of the moment in terms of like choke, like not trying to take a jump shot. Like you watch Lowry, and he doubts himself. Then you see his body language. Body language is everything. Like body
it's
language
the hair.
Is everything.
When your hair's that nappy, you doubt yourself. Put a comb to it, a pick, something,
so,
some leave-in
I mean,
conditioner.
But to Micah's point, until I see Lowry ball in the postseason, then they ain't being Cleveland. They're not being Boston. They may be knocked out in the first round. They're that type of team. Lowry
wow.
has the ball. Lowry
so,
has the ball. Like, he don't ball. Then
are
they
we betting wings
anybody.
Here? Because I think Toronto beats Cleveland if they meet up.
We can bet wings. I mean, it's not like you pay up. You haven't paid
what you mean?
Late.
Hold on.
I'll give you a chance.
Oh, you
win? It's okay. You owe me already.
Hold on.
Yeah,
I didn't know that.
Already.
I did not know okay. that I owed you wings.
Look, I'm not mad. Look.
I'm not a mad person. I don't remember. You know? Come
yeah.
on now. Wait, listen. I'm not even paying for Infinity War Avengers. I won my bets. I cash in my bets. So that's on you. But
not
saying,
that,
you know,
I
you owe me that, you owe me wings.
Yeah, I owe – no, I still owe Watt wings. I owe
Watt
wings. I
put you
on
Watts. Okay, so I'm going to pay my debt to society. Real fast –
I can't eat wings anyway now, right now.
So. Okay. You know what? Listen, you know what? Let's not talk about it. I told them all I haven't dutied all weekend long. Ty Lue stepping down from Cleveland. Big deal or not a big deal?
It's not a big deal because LeBron James is the coach, and LeBron James is the coach killer. I mean, David Black got a raw deal. I can't think of his name. Mike Brown caught a raw deal. Now Ty Lue is
like
sick.
You, if I don't like
I'm just saying.
You. I don't like
now,
you.
Ty Lue is sick. And what's scary about Ty Lue being sick is Ty Lue played in the league. He's very good friends with Chauncey Billups and Kevin Garnett. They work out. So he's a man that stays in shape. He's coaching LeBron and them Cavs is what got him sick. Dealing
like
with
that.
LeBron for 82 games is what
agree.
Got him sick.
I do agree that he said David Black got a raw deal. I agree with that, though. That
I do. I think that everybody knows David
I
Black got
David
a raw
Black.
Deal. And that's why David Black took a shot at him at the recently was that over the World Championships or something like that. They had that footage when they asked him, and he took a shot at Cleveland for that. But let me
yeah,
also
exactly.
let me take your
Mike Brown didn't get a raw deal though. Mike Brown was still there even after LeBron James left. So Mike Brown was still there.
But definitely David Black. So we're gonna take cut the show short. Trying to beat this weather. My son has his first day of practice, guys, in Florida. You know, he went last year without playing baseball because we took that move from Virginia here to Florida. So he's been a year off of playing baseball. So I'm kind of excited as a father to get him out there for his first practice. And they're three games into the season and they still put him on the team because kind of pushed the envelope, if you will, a little bit to my how good my son was. So let's just hope he lives up to the hype. Okay. Floyd Mayweather has filed. Yeah, I get that. What's the father supposed to do to get his son on the team
he's
late this season? Okay, I'm
supposed
to do that. okay? Because I think he is that damn good if he just stops laughing. I have that kind of child, and if you guys have this child, please tell me how to deal with it. My son laughs at every god darn thing, no matter what it is. Whether it's funny or not, it's just a nervous tick that he laughs, and it pisses me off. But
he's just a happy child.
Don't take away their innocence.
I try not to. It just annoys me when I'm like yelling at him and he laughs. Like Neo, you know, you so sexy when you're mad. No, I'm not. I'm his father. I'm not supposed to be sexy when I'm mad. Okay. Floyd Money Mayweather has filed for his MMA license. And I got into a heated debate with some of the social media people here on Fox Sports Radio 1340 AM that I can say here live on air. I don't give a damn about. Okay, and program director, who I do give a damn about, and Champ Creed, who I give a damn about, because no one thinks to think what I'm thinking, and I think this. You people who are sleeping on Floyd Mayweather are stupid, because name me something that that man has ever done that's going to put him in a position to lose. If that dude did not think that he could beat a dude that could beat a dude next to him so he could beat a dude to win, that dude wouldn't get in the octagon. The hand speed of a boxer is 10 times as fast as the hand speed of an MMA fighter. And taking off boxing gloves and putting on MMA gloves, Floyd's going to have some punching power. Now, I'm not saying he's an overwhelming favorite to go in here. But check this out. CM Punk fights in Chicago coming up at UFC, I believe it's 225. Who is CM Punk's biggest supporters? Wrestling fans. Who else loves Floyd Mayweather? Wrestling fans. CM Punk will win his match in Chicago, and all they will know is here go two inexperienced guys with two big names. CM Punk would sit and stand for Chicago May because he's from Illinois. See there, Wally? There you go.
That's all you just did.
I thought about you. Okay. CM Punk versus Floyd Money Mayweather. Write it down. Book it. Hashtag bet that. Lock it up. Floyd Mayweather will win in the octagon. Micah, I heard you chiming in because I know you're on the road, and I heard all that god darn noise in the background, which, by the way, only comes across loud here when we're doing the show live. When I go back and hear the podcast, I don't hear the stuff. All right, so I guess whatever marketing we got that drowns all that out pretty damn good. But go ahead, Micah. Floyd Money Mayweather will shock the world and will be 51-0 when he wins MMA because friend of the program, Tyron Lue, is training him. Not Tyron Lue. God darn, I didn't mean to say that. Tyron Woodley is training him. Micah, your thoughts on Floyd becoming an MMA fighter?
Hold on. Can you play that close soundbite one more time?
Anytime you want me to play the Cubs soundbite, I will play the Cubs soundbite. You just have to ask for it,
cool,
and it shall be done. So, are you asking
cool
for me to play
the Cubs
soundbite?
We need that right
soundbite
now.
Okay.
Yeah, we're gonna. Because that's what you're gonna do, and whatever other person was gonna do when Floyd Money Mayweather knocks out Conor McGregor. You know what? It's
hold
gonna
on,
be even worse.
Hold on. I don't think you're gonna beat Conor McGregor in the octagon. Now that shit ain't gonna happen. Oh, I just cussed on Fox Sports Radio.
Oh, that happens. But no, I know. I'm very serious. If he fights Conor McGregor, he may actually knock that boy out. Because he got
He's not going to knock Conor McGregor in the octagon. Absolutely not. My son has a better chance of beating me in real life than Floyd Mayweather has of beating up. Listen, no matter what you think about that racist who I used to love by Conor McGregor, Conor McGregor in an octagon will destroy Floyd Mayweather. That's why he's not going to fight Floyd in octagon. It will be CM
Punk. I don't know, bro. I think he'll do it. And CM Punk will be a bigger box office choice as far as just the amount of people they can attract and eyeballs. But I ain't gonna lie, I would love to see Floyd Mayweather in the octagon throwing a kick. I would love to see him throw a kick. I did have this imagination thing going on. Some people may know this movie, some people don't. Undisputed 2 with Michael J. White.
Yes.
So some people
that movie
don't know
pretty,
it.
That movie's pretty good.
I know it. You know it.
Okay.
So Undisputed 2, Michael J. White, he was a premier boxer and stuff, got in the Russian prison system and stuff and had a start
fight. I get that. I'm trying to find the correlation here.
Yeah, but he's trying. He got his butt tore up by a Conor McGregor type dude who was just bad to the bone. He got beat down, trained himself, and ended up beating the dude there. All I'm saying is that Floyd Mayweather is one of the premier combat athletes in the world when it comes to boxing. So what
I hate that word.
Really have to learn?
I hate the word combat athlete because they tell us we have to use it. I hate that word.
Why? We talk about combat sports.
I put it to you like this.
That's what boxing is. He's an artist. He's an artist in the Rembrandt in that ring. What are you talking about? He's not Picasso because Picasso was ugly. I'm talking about he's a freaking like Leonardo da Vinci up in that piece. The dude, paints Mona Lisa every day in the ring.
Floyd is undefeated in boxing. Floyd is undefeated in the professional wrestling. And Floyd will be undefeated. And Floyd will be undefeated in the UFC. Floyd, his gimmick is not losing.
People thought I was – listen, when I tell you – okay, now, Spot, because you do, like, movies and stuff now and – Micah, you like teaching young, you know, mold young minds, and so do you, Wally. And I happen to make the mistake. I'm realizing this mistake now, right? I'm not going to apologize, but I realize this. Millennials do not like having their age brought into an argument or debate. Okay. So I made the debate argument of saying, well, you're young, you wouldn't understand. Right? And all 18 double hockey stick broke loose. Floyd.
Well, that's because the inexperience ain't educated.
Mm-hmm. Listen, the fact that they want to argue with me, I said, well, that's you being young right there, right? Because all I did was say that your age group does not understand boxing, and all you see is MMA. You don't respect the sweet science of boxing. Now, Wally, you're...
Yeah.
Yep.
Mike, what happened, Mike?
Okay. I don't know.
What
happened. I mean, that's what you're going to ask me a question about. I guess you're
going to
ask me a question about. All right. So I guess you're going to ask me a question about Floyd and MMA. So I'm going
to
put it this way. I don't even care in Floyd and MMA. Like, he's not Floyd. He's going to be a guy who's in that realm. Like, that doesn't excite me. You know what I mean? So
does he get tapped out, though?
Uh-huh.
If he fights a guy in MMA, tapping him out is too easy because if he doesn't have experience and really break out of a tap, they're gonna want to try to throw hands with him, and there's a problem with a kick.
But what are you gonna fight?
Think about it. Remember Brock got to UFC and Frank Mir tapped him out in like a minute. Remember, like, the first fight he had was for me.
I thought Brock won that fight.
I'm sorry, guys.
I thought Brock won that fight.
A really bad storm here, and, like, everything went out. But that's why we have the beautiful thing called an iPhone. Okay, so I'm here.
Yeah.
So I didn't mean to cut you off. You were saying something before I got cut off. Did he get a chance to respond to that? Because
I
want to hear Wally's take on.
I responded
to it. You got Floyd?
Floyd, as an MMA dude, doesn't even excite me. It doesn't even pique my imagination.
Does it make you think
MMA's
tainted now?
No. What, jaded?
Tainted. Well, if he goes to the octagon.
The same thing I thought about boxing. I'm very consistent. I can't be unfair to Conor McGregor when he came to box. I thought it was a joke. It was an exhibition. He's going to MMA. It's an exhibition. You know what I mean?
Don't make me play that soundbite.
It's like
no,
watching Rocky. It's like, well, I'm going to say the same thing I said about Floyd and Conor McGregor in terms of boxing now in the MMA. It's like Hulk Hogan fighting Rocky. That crap don't make no sense.
Look at that. Thunder Lips had a chance.
Thunder Lips did have a chance. No one respects the lips of Thunder.
I was just saying, I'm very consistent. I don't want to be unfair to any side, you know, MMA or boxing. I'm gonna be fair.
To be fair though, I'm not thinking Floyd would have an entire chance whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
And an octagon against Conor McGregor.
Yeah, he's not gonna have a chance.
I'm thinking
like,
he has a chance against someone of the likes of a CM Punk.
But don't you think that this is all set up just to have a Conor McGregor Floyd fight, like a tit for tat type of thing? You think CM Punk is a play?
I'm gonna tell you why.
I think that's what's going on. I think they're trying to. I think him and Conor. Remember how they were talking about how how they were doing business when they were doing their boxing match. I honestly believe that Conor has been hip to where Floyd Mayweather's game is, and is trying to raise that pay gap for that pay gap between boxers and MMA fighters. He's trying to make this thing so daggone box office they have to pay the fighters $50 million, otherwise they won't owe at least 25.
But here's the slippery slope with that though, Micah. MMA doesn't have that kind of money. MMA can't pay Floyd, because if they pay Floyd, if this fight happens, right? And I think this is all the talks being said. You can go to like the Luke Thomas show and, you know, bloodyelbow.com, even BJ Penn during the program, and listen to their websites and hear what they've got to say. They're saying this license is going to happen. But BJ Penn especially says he doesn't think this fight will happen, because exactly what you said, Micah. If you look at this, if you pay Floyd, we know Floyd ain't fighting for less than 50 mil. Okay? If you give Floyd
100
mil, well, I was trying to be generous, okay, and thinking that maybe Floyd would have to see, okay, this isn't the boxing money. You know, this isn't old people money that boxing has. This is MMA money. MMA can't give Floyd this money and pay other fighters $30 million, $25 million, $15 million a fight. The most these guys get, the biggest paydays they've gotten is like $5 million a fight. Ronda was the biggest, which, by the way, she's in the WWE. Okay, Brock Lesnar, which, by the way, still might not go to MMA, and I think all that is just a ploy because Fox is going to get WWE, and MMA has to, UFC has to land somewhere. So, take this with a grain of salt if Floyd will even sign still, but they can't afford that. They cannot afford to pay Floyd Mayweather and then pay the likes of a Mighty Mouse Johnson to pay.
I will say this.
Mm-hmm.
What they would do is, it will be a co-promotion between UFC and Mayweather promotion.
I can say that.
Well, Floyd will definitely get a 50-50 split of the gate, pay-per-views, and things like that. And the guys on the undercard will definitely get paid royally. Because Floyd's match will be the main event, but we don't know what's going to happen in that octagon. So the undercard or the co-main event, whatever they do, those guys are going to see big paydays. I expect two title fights to be on that same card, that event.
Since my social media to the icon stars, Ayatollahs and Rock and Rollers wouldn't tweet out he will beat CM Punk, I just did. So CM Punk, just like Sasha Banks, who blocked the Stolen Sports, which is weird. You didn't block me, but you want to block the Stolen Sports, which is cool. Okay? CM Punk, Chicago did not make you. If that fight happens, but I think it will. I think it will. I don't think it's going to happen for as much money as people think it will happen for. I think we get Floyd Mayweather in the octagon. And I think we're going to get him against Floyd. He can't beat a Demetrius Johnson. He can't beat a Frankie Edgar, who I, time and time again, those two guys just named, Mighty Mouse Johnson and Frankie Edgar, I compare to the Floyd Mayweather of MMA as far as their boxing ability is concerned. That's what gets me. Having this discussion with, you know, Glenn Thomas, program director, and Champ Creed, and the social media whatever person that was that wanted to argue with me, who, I'm a blocker. So, before there's a movie with Johnson and blockers, make sure you go see it. I will block you on any social media quickly, just like Sasha Banks, okay? I will say this. There's no way that fight's going to happen. There's no way that he could beat those guys in the ring, but he's not going to fight those kind of guys. They're not going to put him in there with somebody that's going to lose because they need the payday. And Wally just said, CM Punk's that big of a payday. He really, if CM Punk comes out in Chicago and wins, that's what it's predicated on, right? If he wins. And it's, how about this, guys? Have we not known sports? And I got to say it because Micah brought it up and I hate to use it. Have combat sports not been fixed before?
Really?
Has it not been fixed before? Because we know that it is. We know that it's been fixed
before. So you telling me Rocky was fixed to defeat the Rushy?
I thought it was an honest thing, man. I swore that Rocky beat Ivan Drago legitimately. It wasn't
in Russia. Look,
it was
in Russia. In Russia on Christmas.
It was
Russia on Christmas.
I think
it's a weird situation.
It is very weird.
I think it's a slippery slope. It's a slippery slope when you we get on these part-timers for coming into wrestling. Now you got other sport entities coming into other sport entities, and it's going to make a mockery of it at some point.
I got to agree. Listen.
Okay,
Did Connor come in the box and make a mockery of boxing? I know people like Wally was offended, and that's fair because they knew that Floyd, that Connor had no chance to beat Floyd. So I think he's saying the same thing now, that there's no, that it's a mockery of MMA.
The difference with that is now boxing is a mockery because there's no stars. And Conor McGregor coming over.
I will disagree.
Hold on.
That's just me.
Conor McGregor coming over brought a whole new light and audience on the sport of boxing that was not being seen or talked about.
That was a payday for Floyd. If Floyd wanted to fight a young, talented, popular boxer, he could have fought him. And as a Floyd Mayweather mark, just like you, I'm going to disagree. Floyd could have fought 3 to 4 fighters that the world would have spent money to see. Maybe not as much as Conor McGregor. That's why I say the payday came in play. But he could have fought the likes of name some names.
He could have fought Andre Ward.
He could have fought, I think Ward.
He could have fought Andre Ward.
I think Ward's way out of his weight class, though. Ward's out of his weight class.
He could have fought. He fought Canelo already.
He already beat Canelo. So
I mean, for money, if you want the, I'm talking about for boxing. We're talking about the realm of boxing, right? Not using MMA, folks. But that's still money though. Like Canelo at that time is still making a lot of money.
I don't think in Floyd's eyes, Canelo makes money, but Floyd already did that.
I agree with that. In Floyd's eyes, he's already did that. But I'm just saying, we're talking about money, right? You can bring pretty much in terms of realm of boxing enough money with Canelo. Like, I think that's what Mike is talking about in terms of
not
the money
the second
in the
fight. Canelo wasn't making money before Floyd.
Canelo was not making money before the Floyd fight.
That's true.
Canelo is probably a better fighter now, like prior to that fight, because a better fighter than everybody has said it, than he was when he fought first on Floyd. So you can market that. Like you can market.
He could have fought Triple G.
You could totally market.
He could have fought Triple G.
He could have fought Triple G. Yeah, that's not. He could have fought Triple G.
Now that I agree with.
He could have fought Bud Crawford. He could have fought Bud Crawford.
He could have put Bud Crawford, right. That's my point.
Wanted
that
to. This guy,
there's stars in boxing that Floyd was like, you know what, I'm bigger than. I'm not going to knock Floyd. I'm not ever going to knock anybody for getting a payday. So I don't knock him for saying, I'm going to get how much to fight this dude? And we all seen it. We're going to move on. I love when people said, oh, this is the best fight Floyd had. Floyd toyed with that guy. If there was a such thing, and we know there is, the rope-a-dope, Floyd roped, he doped, and he whooped that boy's arse. 347-627-359. Moving on, guys. Best and worst of the weekend, before we talk about Monday Night Raw tonight. Best and worst of the weekend. In other words, like the beat, sing along with me. And our name's not even CM Punk. Best and worst of the weekend, Wally. Wow.
Best of the weekend. Well, I saw the worst. Worst of the weekend is the tournament, man. Like, good God, Michigan State, really? Syracuse? Like, you ruined my money, man. And I don't like when people mess up my money. You ruining my money. And, best of the weekend, I took my nieces to see Whistle of the Town or whatever that. What's that open movie? Wrinkle in Time. Thank you, Mike. I appreciate that. So, yeah, actually, that wasn't a bad movie. I took my niece to get a good time, and that was the best of the weekend for me.
Best and worst of the weekend right there. What's the best and worst of the weekend for you there, Micah? And I ain't talking about what you cooked over the weekend. Well, maybe I am.
Well, actually, I didn't really cook anything, really. I mean, I was pretty basic. Okay, I did use the grill on Sunday. But anyway, worst of the weekend was definitely all my brackets. All my brackets were like London Bridges is falling down. God, believe, man.
That movie sucked, too.
Best of the weekend, just saying, best of the weekend was definitely, for me, the wonderful game night that I host every month, once a month, trying to build it up to twice a month. just to have everyone come out and play some video games. And man, I did not realize I was that I was still bad to the bone on GoldenEye. I'm scared. I'm scared of how great my hands were on that.
Best and worst of the weekend for you, Spotface.
Well, the worst of the weekend, I would definitely have to go with the NCAA tournament. Brackets are busting. But the best of the weekend, and I'm included because it came in yesterday, that Mark Henry's going into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
I think that is definitely a clap it up best of the weekend. Somebody who's definitely deserved to put that work in, that Sexual Chocolate himself is going into the Hall of Fame. I'm happy for that. We got a brother in.
We got a brother in that's not part of the tag team or has his or sucks and jives the way that Tony Atlas, some would say, would do. Good segue into that as well because my best of the weekend, which, you know, was me talking to Mark Henry on the phone and getting him live on air to say that he will give us an interview down at WrestleMania and will sign all the hashtag Belt King belts live on Sirius XM platform, Busted Open Radio. So, Busted Open, you already know the Belt King, Fox Sports Radio, Soulin' Sports, Perfect Flex Radio is coming through. So, that was the best for me. Worst of the weekend for me, frankly, honestly, it wasn't in the brackets, y'all. I need the duty. Now, I'm going to leave that right there. I got stomach issues right now, guys. I have suffered from diverticulitis, and I'm in pain, and I might be going to the hospital real soon. Like, probably not get off air. But I'm still here, and I'm still struggling to get through it. But Monday Night Raw tonight, and you just talked about it, Mark Henry, the Hall of Fame has now gotten into the Hall of Pain, and one of the best things in the world that I can remember was me taking my son to his first Money in the Bank pay-per-view when he, you know, it was been a John Cena one, which we all thought back then, Spotface, that we thought they could have had him be the transitional champion and he should have beat John Cena.
He
should have won with that fake retirement celebration. He should have won that. But tonight, I asked this at the beginning of the program, and I'm going to say it again now. If this final deletion doesn't come off good tonight, it's going to be really, really bad for the history of Bray Wyatt. This can make or break Bray Wyatt's career. The WWE should allow Matt Hardy and Jeremy Borash, who came up with this thing in Impact Wrestling, to do their thing and let it come off the way that it should come off. WWE, keep your hands off of this. Also, tonight on Raw, do John Cena get a response from The Undertaker? We've talked about it on Perfect Flex Radio. What do people want to see? This is a big controversy going on right now in the aisles of wrestling fans. Do you want to see The Undertaker or The American Badass? And I know people will say, well, aren't they the same thing? Well, of course they are, but not really. John Cena had a history of a rivalry more with the American Badass than he had with the Dead Man himself. One of the greatest promos and ass-whippings I've ever seen on SmackDown was John Cena peeing in The Undertaker's grave on SmackDown. And, of course, Undertaker proceeded to give him the last ride, and he reaped the souls. And that happened in 2003. It is now 2018. So I'm going to start with you, Micah. Raw tonight, what are you looking for? Oh, real fast. And I am still completely disappointed and upset if Braun Strowman doesn't get a tag team partner by the name of WWE. Y'all know what that is? Walk with Elias. I do not want to see Braun Strowman be the tag team champions by himself. That's a mockery on the tag team division of wrestling. And I will love it because I'll be at WrestleMania, but I will hate it for the history of what the tag team division means to me. Mike, your thoughts for Raw tonight?
No, man, you're factual about that tag team division. He already buried the entire tag team division by himself. Granted, that was not his doing. That was the booking doing that could make Braun look as strong as he's been looking forever in a day. Cool. But Elias being his tag team partner is good, solid television, a la Kane and Daniel Bryan, Team Hell No, which was fantastic television, very comedic. But you already know how I feel about Braun. He should be in the main event for the Raw Universal Championship against one Roman Reigns, because that made more sense because he destroyed Brock Lesnar. But anyway, that's just me. I hope the final deletion does ultimate deletion comes off very, very well. I really do hope that WWE said, Jeremy, Matt, y'all have done this. Rebby, y'all have done this before. You've made it hot. It was the best thing going. Please make it go. Also, they already killed Bray Wyatt a long, long time ago. After Undertaker lost WrestleMania for the first time against Brock Lesnar, the perfect guy to finish him off was Bray Wyatt. They didn't let Bray Wyatt finish him off, neither at WrestleMania nor at Survivor Series. But Bray Wyatt has been dead to many fans for a long, long time. Matt Hardy being woken was actually the reason why Bray Wyatt became important again, even after he had a little stint as the WWE champion with Randy Orton and that whole Sister Abigail burning down. Like, those two things have kind of kept Bray Wyatt afloat, but I'm sorry. Unless they can convince me otherwise, he's done. I want to see
how they're going to develop this thing with Nia Jax and Alexa Bliss. Just how they're going to bring it forward, just to make sure that that storyline keeps going.
Well, they brought it forward last week, and I hated it, them making fun of her weight. I personally thought that was
They did, but I'm talking about what Nia Jax is going to do. Are they going to give her another squash match? Are they going to put her against somebody that's a little bit more credible? Are they going to make her go through Mickie James? You know, this is you know, these last.
I think she interrupts the match tonight with Asuka. It's supposed to be Asuka versus the Blissful One tonight. So I think Nia Jax interrupts that match somehow.
That would be cool, because then if you disqualify Asuka, if you get Asuka disqualified, she still keeps her streak. She still looks strong, and you go ahead and start building up that more revenge thing against Alexa Bliss. So I can see that too. So, well, I mean, what are you expecting out of tonight, though? That's what I expect. If Elias comes back with Braun Strowman, I'm going to laugh. I ain't going to lie. I know now people don't like it. I don't care that they don't like it, because I know what I like. And him and Elias' interaction, especially me being a musician, has been gold for me. Come! It's been great.
That's one to play it again. I'm a big fan of Elias, the long-lost love child of the Macho Man, Randy Savage. Spot face, Raw tonight. Will we get Undertaker? Will we get a response? Will Alexa finally break the Empress's streak? I don't think, you know, we got the Empress of Tomorrow versus the Queen. I think that got to go into WrestleMania undefeated. How does that set up? What do you want to see tonight on Raw?
Tonight, plain and simple, I just think the best thing to happen is, unfortunately, what Vicky Guerrero said would happen, that all our women will be in the Battle Royal and they get no matches.
Well, here's the thing, though, about that, and she touched on that a little bit, but you got to think there's going to be three different women matches, okay, that's involved in WrestleMania. That's quite a lot, to be honest. It's more than a typical two because of the Ronda Rousey effect. So they got three matches there. And then you put them in the Battle Royal, you make them important. You're giving these women the same thing you're giving the men every single year at this point, because you have the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal going on. We supposed to on purpose, like I said, how you had the Fabulous Moolah paper Battle Royal going on.
It's been renamed.
Memorial Battle Royal, which, again, I went into a lot of discussion and argument. I personally, this is the age we live in with the millennials, and everybody got to apologize for everything. Today, Martin wouldn't last, and Living Single wouldn't last, Archie Bunker wouldn't last. It happened in the 40s and 50s. I'm sorry. And who doesn't step on somebody else to get to the top? That's just me. It happened years ago. It didn't bother me enough, but it did bother enough of you guys that Snickers said they were going to pull their sponsorship from WWE and WWE say, you ain't taking our money. See you, May, or Fabulous Moolah, you're out of here. And again, what you said about Mark Henry, anybody can get a hand over, you know, deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. So with that being in mind, I'm going to ask you, Wally, it is the road to WrestleMania. Are you watching Raw tonight?
If I get back from the gym, maybe. I got to go back from the gym, though. It's all about my gym schedule. But if I get back in the gym, probably. I like the last hour of Raw, so I'll probably be in the house in time for the last hour of Raw.
Well, with that being said, guys, listen, we're going to get up out of here. I got places to go, people to see, and hopefully a toilet to let loose in. Listen, guys, do not wake up tomorrow morning and say to yourself, I love me and don't love God, y'all. We out of here tomorrow around the blocks with Mike Knox live, Facebook, YouTube, TV, and everywhere else you can find Mike Knox. Fingers.
This is the Soul of Sports, hosted by Mike Knox. It's barbershop talk, still we think outside the box. We take it to the hoop, y'all be trying to find your shot. Sports talk, the best on the dial when it's time to rock. We talking football, baseball, boxing, any sports you can name. Keep your radios locked in. Listen, you can get the scoop on all your top 10. Mike Knox, Soul and Sports, we keep it hot, man.
And that's the bottom line, because Stone Cold sets up.
If you're not down with that, woo!